Hello, makers. My name is Olav. I am a teacher. I'm going to talk a bit about why I find making so fascinating and why I want to have more of it in schools. It's sometimes a bit hard to find a place to start. I'll start with this picture, which looks terrible because the Windows to Mac conversion, I hope. This is from a few days ago. We just have to live with the image quality, I guess. Where this is from a few days ago, where Espen is talking about the 3D printers at Oslo EdTech Day, which was a part of Oslo Innovation Week. During Oslo Innovation Week, there was several of these talks and workshops around technology and school. How do we introduce more technology into our school? And I hope this statement is not too controversial. Technology, innovation, and making are important and should be a part of our educational system. I hope none of you disagree too much about that. But whenever we talk about technology in school and making in school, a version of this question always comes up. Like, how do we implement these things within our current academic system, within our academic limitations? And that's kind of an awkward phrase, but the stuff I'm talking about is things like national education plans, standardized tests, curriculums, exams. And many of these things are not getting updated as quickly as the technology is getting updated. We get new national education plans maybe once a decade, and we know that a lot of stuff can happen during a decade. A lot of new cool technology comes, and then we have to find ways to implement it in our schools. We have to hack our school systems, basically. This is like a very, very big topic, and I don't have time to solve it for you right now. I only have a few minutes, so I'm not going to attempt that. Instead, I'm going to give you a little shortcut. What if there was a kind of school where we don't have these things, where we don't have exams, where we don't have national curriculums? What if we have a school where we can do basically whatever we want? Wouldn't that be nice? We do have that kind of school, and that's what I'm here to talk to you about. It's called a folk high school. Is there anyone here from outside Scandinavia? There's a few people. Have you heard the term folk high school before? It's kind of hard to explain, but it's a weird Scandinavian tradition, basically a 150-year-old Scandinavian tradition. It's a special type of school. We have about 150 of them in Sweden, about 78 in Norway, and about 70 in Denmark. Here's the Norwegian schools, and they share some characteristics. Basically, a folk high school is a boarding school. It has a big focus on the social aspects of the school year, and they're based around learning by doing. There's a lot of doing stuff, not that much theory. There's no grades, no exams, They focus on the experience of going to school, meeting new friends, and doing stuff together with them. I think this framework is very compatible with the maker movement. I think putting making into this context can yield some really interesting results. And the last thing is full academic freedom. And what I mean by that is that folk high schools are not governed by national teaching plans. They can decide for themselves what they want to teach. And to prove that, I will show you one paragraph from the Norwegian law, just one, but it's a kind of cool. It's a kind of cool one. Først på norsk, folkehøyskolens formål å fremme allmenndanning og folkeopplysning. Den enkelte folkehøyskole har selv ansvar for å fastsette verdigrunnlag innenfor disse rammene. This is not really that easy to translate, but I made a attempt. The purpose of a folk high school is to promote enlightenment and education of the people. Each school is responsible to define its own set of values within this framework, aka do whatever you want. So this framework is really robust, it's really broad, we can do a lot of things in it as long as we enlighten and educate the people. And when I see that, I think, hey, the maker movement is enlightening and educating people. We guys should work together. But the problem, as I see it, is that even though we can do whatever we want, we don't necessarily do it right now. This is the current course categories at folk high schools. There's a lot of sports and outdoors, lots of music, theater, travel, arts and crafts. There's some communications, and there's the great category of other stuff. Folk high schools are really good at the stuff they have been good historically about. They are good at traditional arts and crafts, but unlike the maker movement, they have not embraced technology in any major way the last decade. And that's the spot I think we have most things to learn from the maker movement. And that's basically why I'm here, because I think that I want folk high schools and the maker movement to talk to each other. I want us to know each other, basically. So what I've done, I've put together five ideas for courses that you could run at a folk high school. All of them are inspired by making culture. And these are just suggestions. As I said, you could basically do anything. I'm not the expert at any of these fields. You guys probably know more about this stuff than I do. I just have a few suggestions on how we can implement maker skills and maker culture into this very specialized type of education. So my first suggestion is make a course about 3D technology. It's such a big part of the maker movement. 3D printing, CNC machines, and stuff like that. So my suggestion is to make a course where you look both at the hardware side of 3D and the software side. You give the students a basic introduction to 3D modeling, animation, rendering, and you also give them access to 3D printers and teach them how to build 3D printers, maintain 3D printers, and use 3D printers. And hopefully they will create some cool stuff with them. Another very cool aspect of maker culture is robotics. I think robotics are a very good way to teach young people about programming. And it's also a cool way of combining software and hardware. And you can also, if you have one 3D printing course and if you have one robotics course, they can work together in creating parts and stuff like that. The next course idea is props, makeup, and special effects. I have this as a suggestion because I see how big the cosplay community have gotten, and I think a lot of young people get their first making experiences through the cosplay community. They start out with very basic costumes, but many of them very quickly turn to pretty advanced production techniques like molding and making props with CNC machines and 3D printing and stuff. I think there's a great potential here to introduce cosplay fans to the maker movement. The next suggestion is maybe kind of on the side of what most people here are doing, but I think there's a big potential in looking at making combined with photography. So I call this course Photography 2.0. It's the only course with like a fancy pants name. But it's all about unlocking the full potential of modern SLR cameras because they are insanely powerful tools and you can use them to do a lot of cool stuff like HDR photography, like time lapse. I just saw some hyperlapse videos, which is really cool, 3D panoramas and stuff like that. And you can also put cameras on drones and even mini submarines. So you can do a lot of cool stuff with that. My last suggestion is more of a big picture course where you look at making and the business of making and how we can translate ideas into businesses. Focus on innovation, which I think is really, really important. And I think you could make a really cool school course based on it. So that's my suggestions. I would love to hear your suggestions, or if you have any tweaks you would do to these basic course plans. As I said, you guys probably know more about this stuff than I do. I'm just a teacher and a maker enthusiast. Last part of my presentation is about how can we take these ideas and actually implement them in schools. The cool thing about the folk high schools is that, as I said, they can do whatever they want. So taking these ideas and actually realizing them are actually easier than you might think. How I got started with the whole folk high school thing was about 2 years ago, where I held a presentation very similar to this one, except it focused on gaming culture and why I think implementing gaming culture in folk high schools would be a good idea. So I really wanted to work at the folk high school. I have been a folk high school student myself, and it was really fun. And I thought to myself, this seems like a really cool place to work. I have a background in interactive media and game development. But a few years ago, there was only one folk high school with any sort of gaming-related program. It was a game design course. And it was announced while I still was a student, so I couldn't apply for the job. So instead of sitting there and waiting for new jobs to open, I started actively trying to create more game-related courses. So I've been actively working with that project for 2 years, and the result is that this August there's 8 game-related courses at the folk high schools around Norway, which is a pretty big big leap from one course to 8 courses in 2 years. I won't take all of the credit for it, but at least I feel I've done my part. So 2 of these courses, this and this, the Buskerud Game Academy is my project. And after I held the talk for two years ago, I came in contact with the Buskerud Folk High School, and I got an offer to work with them for 1 year with PR work and planning their future course program. So I did that for 1 year, and this August I started up my own class. And these are my students. They spend a lot of time playing video games, but they also spend a lot of time creating stuff and having fun, and I hope they are learning stuff. And working at the Folk High School is insanely fun, so if you think it sounds interesting, I really hope you take the time to take a little chat with me. And that was my presentation. Talk to me now or just send me an email.
Wow, thank you. Are there any questions? Yes, okay.
Is it such that you only take one course a year? Are you? You don't take multiple courses, you take one course and that's what you do the whole year?
Yeah, you take one course, you specialize in that course for the entire year. That's it's a bit different from school to school, but that is the norm. So it's a year that you can spend on specializing within one specific field. And that could be like a hobby, or it could be more work-related. For most people, it's a year between high school and higher education. Many students use that year to think about what they want to do in their future.
Are there folk high school located in Oslo?
There's one folk high school in Oslo called Rønningen. And there's one just outside Oslo. If we go... If we go back to the map, you can see that they're spread around the entire country. And most folk high schools are actually on pretty small